difference in your life. He brought the sunshine. Can I get a witness? Anybody know Jesus? I don't hear nothing on this side. Wow. Can I get a witness? Anybody know Jesus? It seemed like to me that this side should be as loud as that side. If that side says they know Jesus, then why is this side missing? That's God's question. Let's go back to the book of Acts, the very first chapter. Amen.
Amen.
Acts 1. Should be still marked from last week. Because I know some folk ain't never touched it since last week. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Told you you're going to get me in trouble, Lord. Man, I ain't going to have nobody at the anniversary. Acts 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. So you mean to tell me that Jesus stayed busy the whole time he was here? Until he was taken up into heaven, because once he get to heaven, okay. All right. After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The subject is, can I get a witness?
All right.
Can I get a witness?
All right.
We are in a day where we are losing fast. Church momentum was once strong, full of vigor and full of power. Now we are losing the momentum. We are losing to the world, not only in the church, but even in our music. Gospel has been watered down so much that it sounds just like R&B. It has lost some of its spiritual power, and the question becomes, when do we stand up for Christ? And the Bible just indicates that the Holy Spirit resides within us, and so therefore, once we have the power of the Spirit, we should be able to do what? Give a witness. We should be able to talk about Jesus morning, noon, and night, even late in the midnight hour. The first thing off our tongues in the morning should be Jesus.
Yes, sir.
The last thing before we go to bed should be Jesus.
Yes, sir.
In order to flex some muscle that God has given you, you got to work the muscle out. Amen. Look, it says that I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. In other words, that while we're here, we have an assignment. We have work to do. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
God didn't just save us to sit.
Yes, sir.
He didn't pull you from out of the muck and the mire, wherever you was, in deep, dark places. to be elevated to the light only to put a lampshade over your head. It's not the reason for your salvation. It's not the reason for your call. It's not the reason for your matriculation from the dirt to light. Jesus is saying, can I get a witness? Can I get someone who's willing to tell all that I've done? Someone who's willing to work until I call you home. One of the things I hear Palmer say is that his days are not that long ahead of him. But the problem is that he don't even know how many days God has designed for him. In other words, so to be preoccupied with dying when death ain't even at your door. There's something wrong with the witness. Because he gives us life and he gives it more abundantly.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, every day above ground, that's a good day.
Yes, sir.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Is there somebody out there willing to say how good God is? Not only how good he is, but how good he's been and how good he's going to be. Can I get a witness? He said to the disciples, said, look, I've done what I came to do. I've done all that and I've showed you and I've given you proof. And now there's really no reason, but he has to tell them, look, now that you know all that you know, now that you have all that you have, I need you to stay here in Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
Now, why in the world would he tell them to stay somewhere? Because we, like them, like most people, the minute the head gets cut off, we want to run for cover. We want to go where it's safe. We want to go where there's no more stress, no more drama, no more pain, no more trouble. We want to go where it's easy now. So he tells them, I need for you to stay here in Jerusalem. But Lord, do you know that right here is where they crucified you? Right here is where they don't like us. Right here is hostile territory. Can we go back home? I've been on the journey for quite some time and now you gone. But he said, no, stay in Jerusalem. And when you stay here, I'm going to give you the power that you need to do the assignment that is coming.
Yes.
In other words, I need you to learn how to stay right where you are and begin to work where you are. Can I get a witness?
Yes, sir.
Does anybody know Jesus? Can he make a difference in your life? Then tell somebody. Tell somebody about your Savior. He's not dead. When you accepted Christ, he blessed you with his spirit.
Woo, thank you, Lord.
He blessed you with his presence.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a holy God.
Hey.
Fooling around with fractured people.
Say that again,
Pastor. But the reason why fractured people are so important to a holy God is because in the beginning he created man and woman in his image. So as fractured as we may be, we are the image of him. Therefore, if we are the image, then we should be able to contain the presence of his spirit that he's given us to do what? A work. An assignment. An assignment to go out and tell a dying world. This world is dying. You know it's dying, right? Those who have been here for 20, 40, 50, 60, you can see where it came from and where it's going to. The technology has far advanced. Matter of fact, there's so much technology now that we have become even more lazier. Back in the day, and Palmer was talking to me about, you know, I have all these tools and things to be able to preach God's word. Where back in the day, they had to open up books and go find books. They had to get up, walk from your chair, go up to the thing, pull it down, open it up, get some paper to write down stuff. Now at the computer, I got every book I need. I don't have to move, so I become sedentary in my lifestyle. So is it a good thing or a bad thing? Can I get a witness? Look, he says that I need you to go to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Nowhere did he say go back home. Because home is normally taken care of, right? I need you to go into hostile territory. I need you to go where they have not heard about me. I need you to talk not just to your friends. I need you to talk to your enemies. See, the one thing that we've messed up in church is that we are not multicultural, multi-ethnic, or multi-anything. We have a segregated society, a segregated worship period, and none of this is of God. You say, well, Rev, we don't even belong here. We was over in Africa and they brought us over here. Did they bring us over here or did God bring us over here? So you got to understand that in heaven, there is no sections for race. Black, white, brown, whoever that is there. Yes, yes. We all come together. Amen. Romans 12 says we are one body.
Yes, sir.
In Christ. Yes. Different functions, different gifts, but we are one body. We are one and the same. Everything is functional within itself. It didn't say, well, the black guys, you handle this, and the white guys, you handle this, and the brown guys, you handle that, and the red guys, you do that. It said we are one. So that means that when we witness to everybody.
Yes,
nobody is beneath the witness. Nobody. You say, well, I don't even know them, Red. Well, good. They didn't know them in Judah, Samaria, or to the uttermost part. They didn't know them, but God said, I'm giving you the spirit so that you can function where you don't belong and get the message out. Can I get a witness? That's all he wants to know. Churches, not just here, but around the country, are empty. Because folks have their own personal Jesus. I got my church. I got my worship service. I got my worship experience. If I bring too many, I might have to slide next to somebody I don't really want to slide next to. I like it when I can just sit out on the whole pew. Oh, Lord, I can come in here. I can sit down, throw my coat here, put my Bible there, throw my leg there and say, yeah, go preach, Rev. But there should be something inside of you to say, why am I here by myself? If I have this relationship with Jesus, how come I haven't filled up this pew with my witness? God has brought me from something. I don't know, but before Jesus, I was lost. I had no home. I had nowhere to go. And now that I have Jesus, it's not personal. It's relational. I should be able to fill the whole pew with those I have talked to about Christ, with those who I have invited to Christ. But those who I have witnessed and I have said, you know what? I know you can't make it, but I can stop by and I can pick you up.
All right.
And then you take witness to another level. See, it's one thing to say, won't you come?
Yeah.
Won't you come?
Yeah.
It's another thing when you go get. Say, I'm not only going to invite you, but I'll come pick you. You ain't got to spend your gas. I want to show you the Jesus that I know. So I tell you what, you just be ready by 10:30, because Rev don't like nobody showing up late. You be ready and I'm going to pick you up. And then when we finish, we'll go out to eat. Don't worry about cooking. I'm going to take care of you because I want you to experience how good God is. Can I get a witness? Does anybody know Jesus? Can he make a difference in your life? So the apostles were faced with a task of staying put and waiting on God.
Yeah.
We don't wait on God, do we?
Well,
we don't wait. We get anxious. We in a hurry. We want something to move and move right now. Lord, I want a mighty move of God. I want a powerful. I just want to feel. I want to be able to run up and down the aisles. I want to hear a great choir. Sometime God saying stay put. Because like I said before, you can't sing in the promised land or dance in the promised land until you learn how to sing in the desert. Right where you are, you got to appreciate where God has you. How is he going to give you more when you still crying about where you are and you ain't told nobody about how good he is?
Come on.
I personally couldn't go to your church. I watch you daily. I see what you do.
Well,
you come into the job, you ain't happy, so you moan.
Well,
you groan.
Well,
you complain.
Yeah.
You whine. I ain't making enough. How come they got promoted over me? How come this and how come that? There's nothing that should be able to steal your joy to know that you was once lost, but now you found that Jesus pulled you out of the junk and put you up on the curve. I didn't say to the higher level because some people can't handle no more than the curve. But when you represent, I mean, when I say, can I get a witness? Does that mean you got to talk all the time? No, let him see by your lifestyle, by your walk, by your talk, by how you sing, by how you treat folks. Let them say, wow, what do you have? I just want to be more like you, but no, we just like the world. And Jesus said that I've given you my spirit. Now, at what part of that the spirit says, I moan, I groan, I complain, I whine, I'm never satisfied, I'm not happy, I'm tired all the time, I don't have time for Bible study, I don't have time for Sunday school, I can't make it to church on time. Tell me what part of his spirit helps you do all that.
Come on, Lord.
I don't see it in the text.
Yeah, thank you.
He says the spirit gives you power. A sound mind.
Yeah.
It changes the old creature to a new creature.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness? Now, when Jesus gave them what they needed, when he told them what was happening, of course, the second part is they wanted to know, was the kingdom about to be restored? Wait a minute now. I just gave y'all an assignment that was going to change the world. And you asking me when we going home. I just gave you my spirit to go out and do a mighty work so that when I come back, we can take as many with us as we possibly can. But all you worried about is, well, now that we got the personal Jesus, when you coming back to get us? In other words, we worried about the wrong thing. We come to church and we are worried about the wrong thing. We are engaged in the wrong thing. We're trying to figure out, where is this program and where is that program and how come she doing this and how come she wearing that and how come he look like that and how come he ain't here and ha. You don't come to church for that. You know what you come to church for? You come to get lifted. You've been through a hellish week, most of us. And Satan and the demons and the flesh make sure it's a hellish week. Because that's their job. It's like when you filling up your gas in your car. Your gas can only go but for so long before it needs a refill. Well, we don't serve regular unleaded here. We don't even serve mid-grade. The word of God serves premium octane.
Yes.
It tells you to put only supreme in this tank.
Yes.
Because in order for you to run all week long with no problem and no circumstance, you need some super powerful guy. This is a refilling station for those who are really trying to be filled with something that will help them go out through the week and not only make it through the week, but be a witness for Christ throughout that week. I know this is the second time I'm preaching this sermon, but I understand this, that God has given you something different than what he gave you last week. Because it needs to be driven home that we are not doing what God has called us to do. There's no church in America that should be empty. Too many lost folks out there. But we have not went to the uttermost parts. And the reason why we ain't going is because we don't know nothing. Who are you going to save and you don't know nothing?
Come on, Doc.
Who are you going to talk to and you don't know where to show them in the scripture?
Yeah.
Who are you going to talk to and you ain't living it yourself?
Amen.
Ain't nothing worse than a deacon sitting in a club. In a shriner's meeting, large meeting, liquor porn, talking about, yeah, we love the Lord. Explain it. Where's the witness? See, your family is twisted because you twisted. As the father goes, so does the family. If the mama supports a raggedy daddy, you're going to have a raggedy home. But if a godly man with a godly woman stand up in a godly house, you're going to produce some godly children. Now, I'm not saying that they're not going to have issues. What I'm saying is that they're going to be able to make it through the storm because of the foundation their mama and daddy set. Let me tell you something I learned while I was at the conference.
Come on.
The olive tree is one of the Jewish people call the survivor tree. Because it can withstand anything. And not die, but survive. It can survive a flood. It can survive a drought. It can survive a firestorm. Because what I learned was that the roots of an olive tree grows in the hard places. In other words, they get attached to rocks. And so as long as the rock don't move.
Come on, preach that. Hey, I don't know about them reps, but I'm hearing you.
If I have some solid roots and they dig into a hard place that's unmovable. See, if you get hooked up to dirt, it'll wash away. Remember that the first branch that came back to Noah after the flood was a fresh olive branch. As long as the rock don't move.
Jesus.
You are connected to the rock. If your spirit sinks its roots in its foundation, which is the rock, that means that can't nothing move you. As long as can't nothing move you, man, I got something to talk about. I got a witness. See, economic crisis, that don't move me. Food on my table, that don't move me. Roof over my head, that don't move me. Illness in my body, that don't move me. Because I know I am firmly planted in Jesus. And as long as I'm there, I know that he got me whether I'm on this side or on that side.
Come on.
That gives me confidence. That I can do what God has given me in my assignment. Look, the Bible says, when we go over to Acts 2, because when you start worrying about the wrong stuff, then now you get, you're going to do what? You're going to focus in on your assignment. Number three, make it plain. The Spirit of God came down like a mighty rushing wind, and tongues split out on each one of them. And they began to speak in tongues, not an unknown tongue. In the language of everybody who was gathered around, black, white, green, yellow, purple, It did not matter because the Spirit of God is not just for one people. Those who have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says. In other words, God did not make confusion. He made it plain. Plain so that everybody was there could hear that Christ had risen.
Yes, sir.
That Christ was real. That Christ is coming back in every language. If I was speaking and now I had 50 different languages here, everything that I said could be understood.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That means he's not an author of confusion. What you need to learn about Jesus is not hard. It's real simple. So keep it simple. Keep it simple in your communication. Keep it simple in your speech. Keep it simple in your walk. Keep it simple in your life. Because the more simple you make it, the easier it is to understand. That's why your life is so important. When you walk the right way, when you do the right thing, when you're not in compromised places, it speaks to who you are, who you said you are. Because every day of your life, we give a witness, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right? Every day?
Every day.
Every day you speak about Jesus? You ain't got to lie in church. Because some days we just plumb forget. Because we so preoccupied. Sometimes I get in the car and I forgot to pray. But it's so good that God ain't me. Because he kept me the whole way. And then when I get halfway there, he reminds me, you know you didn't pray. Oh, Lord. Thank you for keeping me when I didn't even keep myself. That's how good God is. Even though we fall short, even though we slack sometimes, he's still there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I need you to be engaged. I need you to understand when you miss it so you can come back to me and say, Lord, forgive me. I got a life to lead. You got folks to save or lead to Christ, because, of course, God does all the saving. Learn your word. Don't let that be your church with one side just full. Fill up the other side. And I'm not talking about just fill a place. I'm talking about saints of God coming together to do a great work. I'm talking about a church. Look where the church has been in just 7 years. I got an invitation from the website to go preach in England based upon my website alone. I can't even get an invitation right here in York, Pennsylvania. Because people are threatened by the true word of God. See, it's not a show. It's not entertainment. This is real stuff where people's lives are trying to be changed. And you can't always get it with the entertainment. I've heard great choirs. And I've heard bad preaching behind great choirs. And you know, folks will stay because the choir was great. But a song can feed your spirit like the word of God can. See, a song is an appetizer, but it ain't a main course. God wants you to be happy with where you are and wants you to work right here where you are to build and to get the things that you hope to have. But it takes a witness. Go home and read Acts 3 as well. And it's going to tell you that when Peter began to speak, he spoke to everybody. He spoke to the whole situation. He made it all plain. He made it clear because he was trying to get folks to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, we can play church. We can act like we're official. But if all you do is come in on Sunday morning and leave out on Sunday afternoon and never tell anybody about what you heard or what you have, then why is the church here? Why are we occupying somebody's space that could probably really use it? Those are questions you have to ask yourself. Questions I have to ask myself. Do I preach for popularity? Or do I preach what God gives me?
All right.
See, we have so many mega churches and so many, and if you have not noticed, mega churches are getting hit hard. They're getting hit hard because they are losing the fact that who they serve is Christ. And they're taking a hit when these great pastors fall all of a sudden. You know that old saying on the street, don't get high off your own supply? Well, preachers are getting high off their own supply. And the minute you get high off your own supply, you become no earthly good to anybody. Your ministry will never supersede Christ. Because remember, he put the spirit in you that allowed us to do what we do. Can I get a witness?
Yes, sir.
Can I get somebody to tell the story?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can I get a witness?
Yes, sir.
Anybody know Jesus? I don't know about you, but there was a cross that was not designed for my God.
Amen.
There was a cross that was designed for you and for me. But somehow, in the midst of it being designed for us, Christ decided to step in and say, well, even though it ain't my will, Daddy, your will be done. But if I'm going to do this, I need a witness.
Yes, sir.
I need somebody to tell a story about how Christ carried the cross that wasn't meant for him, but it was meant for me. In other words, he took my place when I should have been nailed on the cross, but instead of me, it was him. So he died for you and for me. Christ just wants to know, can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Because when they nailed his hands to the cross, when they nailed his feet to the cross, it wasn't because of what he did.
Yeah.
It's because of what we did.
Yeah.
Then look.
Come on. Come on.
They took the Savior of the world, hung him between heaven and earth.
Yeah.
And he didn't do nothing.
Well.
But he wanted you to tell the story of what he did for us.
Yeah.
He was in pain, sorrow.
Yeah.
In the midst of his pain, he heard one of us cry.
Yeah.
He heard one of us cry. Now, if I'm in pain, I ain't listening to nobody else's cry. But to show you how great he was, he heard somebody cry and said, Lord, please. How many of you out there crying, Lord, please remember me? Please remember me. And he said, well, this day you shall be with me in paradise. Tell the story. Tell them how God has transformed your life. Because early on Sunday morning, after he had done his assignment in the grave, the Bible says he got up with all power, had the keys of death, hell, and the grave. In other words, there's no more things that can hold us down. When he got up, we can get up. Can I get a witness?
Come on.
Does anybody know Jesus? Can he make a difference in your life? Can I get a witness? Did anybody tell you about Jesus? Anybody tell you how he got up from the grave? Anybody tell you that you don't have to be worried about all his economic problems? Anybody tell you that you're drunk, you're drinking, and you're smoking, and your drugs can all go away? Your adultery, your fornication, homosexuality, you're lying, you're cheating, you're stealing. Oh, nobody, nope. Oh, that's why they ain't here. Nobody told him. So in other words, you guys are still living in what you're living in. What? You know people go to church, but they ain't told you nothing? Oh, they partying with you? You think they're hypocrites? Oh, my God. What? You sleeping with the deacon? No wonder. No wonder you're not here. No wonder. Well, I can't speak to y'all anymore because you're not here.
Well,
I got to speak back to the church. Whether you young or you old, got something to give. Because you no longer got a death sentence. For those who have accepted Christ as Lord and personal Savior, you have been delivered from death to life. You got a right to tell somebody to come out of your old ways. Stop dealing in the same stuff, the same dirt. There are folks who are dependent on us to help change their life. And as long as we look raggedy, as long as we look crooked, as long as we look messed up, as long as we say we love the Lord while we act like we love Satan, we ain't getting nobody in here. See, it ain't what you do while you're in here. It's what you do when you walk through those doors. That's Christ's message. 2 weeks in a row, all he wants to know is all that I've done for you. Can I get a witness? Will somebody tell my story? Doors of the church are open this morning.